Hello, I am Maxim Presence, and this is Indigo Minute. I am excited to discuss surrender. Surrender is the goal, the attainment, and the liberation from being a limited self. Surrender is the cessation of individuality as a separate, egoic character. Surrender creates freedom. When I am a person, I suffer. When I am presence, I am free. Being a person is painful because as a person, you have many limitations, many desires that pull you in different directions, pulling you apart from within, creating tension. There's a feeling of lack, not having what you're striving for, a tension that pushes you to achieve something that you feel you don't have. There's comparison of being worse or better than others. And all of this is primarily rooted in the belief of separation. Being an individual character is painful because you believe you're separate from the world. You believe you're separate from all the things that you are perceiving. A person ages, a person feels pain, and a person ages and deteriorates and dies. Very temporary phenomena. There's a lot of beauty in being an individual character, but with the beauty, there's the downs, the negatives. And it's basically a roller coaster ride where you get pummeled in the high, you go up into the highs and you get back and hit the lows and you get chewed up within that up and down. It reminds me of the symbol of the catechus, which is the ancient symbol of health, where you have two snakes, one good, one bad, that climb up the center pole and finally culminate right below the sphere, the sun at the top. And that sun, that spherical shape, is represented by wholeness and presence. Again, when I am a person, I suffer. When I am presence, I am free. So where does surrender play a part in all of this? To unveil surrender, you must unveil yourself. You must know yourself. And to know yourself, you need to know what you're not. Everything that you can perceive is not your primary identity. Everything you can perceive, every single thing, whether it's a thought, an emotion, your own physical body, other physical bodies, the environment itself, everything you can perceive, not one of those things define who you are as your total self. Because all of those things are objects perceived within you. So what are you surrendering in the act of surrender? And who or what are you surrendering to? The primary surrender is the surrender of your individuality, the surrender of being a limited self. You're basically giving up your character. You're surrendering the idea that you are this person. That's the ultimate sacrifice. And in many ancient civilizations, the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Incas, there are tales of such surrender. For example, in the Popol Vuh, Hunahpu and Xibalanque, these two brothers, they go into the underworld to bring their father back from the dead. And they have to enter the house of the dead in order to do so, to find him there. And long story short, their very last act is that they willingly jump into the fire and basically surrender their individual god forms. But they do so with confidence, because they know that even though they're gods, that's still not their true self. That they are so much bigger than that individual archetypal god form. And when they do this, they actually transcend into a greater form. They become the sky and the stars. They become a bigger identity. So surrender asks us to surrender our small self. We have to give up being small so that we could take on the identity of being big. The presence is vast. The character, the person that we identify as, is limiting, is confining. So surrender is really a surrender of your very sense of self. And this is what the ego, as I characterize it as the character, wants to avoid at all costs. It's literally a threat to its very existence. It feels as if it's very sense of self is in danger. But the reality is that surrendering your character does not destroy it, because the character ends up being enveloped by the bigger identity. It gets incorporated into the bigger self. You don't lose the character. The character just doesn't have the primary seat anymore. And in that story about the two brothers that jump into the fire, they succeed in not being tricked by the other gods, because in reality, everything is one thing. There's just one identity that separated itself into various smaller identities, smaller circles of information. And because everything is one thing, the higher gods play tricks on the lower gods to test them to see if they will buy into the separation. So they'll create a test where if you know that you are truly all that is, then you'll have no fear to surrender your ego, to surrender your individuality. If you don't know who you are, then there will be fear to do that. And the higher gods will have a great laugh at that, because they'll find it funny that such a great being is afraid and believes himself to be so small. This act of surrender is also found in a lot of our popular culture films. One example that comes to mind is with the film Tron Legacy, where in the end, the guru character that created the world that Tron lives in ended up having to surrender himself back into the singularity so that he can transcend into another level. The same surrender happens in the Matrix trilogy, where in the end Neo surrenders himself to transcend his individuality. And the same thing happens in an obscure anime that you may have not heard of called Kaiba, where the main character has to surrender his individuality and become the whole world to create balance again. This surrender does not mean physical death. It does not mean that your physical body dies and that's the end of you. The surrender I'm talking about is psychological. And it's extremely profound because it's a major shift in consciousness, a quantum leap in who you are. It is the leap from being a character to being an archetypal consciousness, a collective consciousness. And ironically, when you surrender your character, your ego, and take that leap into a collective identity that contains the whole world, you actually create a new style of individuality that's based in the collective. It's still you, but you're much bigger. So you actually don't lose your individuality in the sense that it's no longer you. An analogy to this would be, if you look at yourself as a person right now, and that's who you believe you are, then you have all the limits of being a person, all the agreements of that identity. Now, you as a person is made up of many different configurations, but more practically, you're a collection of living cells. These living cells, like the blood cells and the white cells and all the different organisms that are alive in your body, those organisms have individual consciousness themselves. Those organisms are living and they have purpose. Each one of them have some kind of purpose within your body. And if you were to put yourself in the shoes of a red blood cell, you would be an individual blood cell. That would be your identity, and you would have the limitations of that identity. So let's say that red blood cells ascends and has a quantum leap, a complete change in being, and becomes this physical body, a human person. That is a massive shift in identity. When the blood cell was an individual character, it had very specific functioning, very specific individuality. And then when it surrendered itself as that red blood cell and made that leap into being the physical body, it didn't actually lose its smaller self. It incorporated itself into the whole. So it became the whole and took its previous identity as the red blood cell as just a part of its now human self. And what's interesting is when the blood cell exists as an individual character, the human that the blood cell lives within exists at the same time. And the only shift that the blood cell needs to make is a shift in identity, because they both exist at the same time. Meaning that red blood cell can identify as the human and then now contain what it thought of itself as previously being within its identity as a human. And the only thing that shifted is its consciousness, its frequency of this is who I am. But the human identity exists at the same time as the blood cell identity within that human body. And this analogy could continue to go up the ladder all the way to the ultimate identity of all that is, of oneness, of containing literally every possible thing that was and ever will be and is. Right now, you identify as the person, as the character. And this character is like a red blood cell within the presence. The presence identity contains your human individuality. And what I'm asking you to do is to consider making that leap into becoming the presence, which you already are right now. And that you, that identity, contains the you as the human person. So this leap in consciousness will give you more freedom and a new sense of individuality, a more expanded sense of individuality. Because as the presence, you don't have the same limits that you do as a human person. You're not dependent on the body as your sense of self. You don't have the limits of linear time. Lack is not a concept that is true for you, because all the resources are within you as that presence identity. And being the presence identity is a state of grace. The presence identity is actually happiness. It's bliss. It's the love frequency. Because there's less separation. There's less desire of trying to get something that you feel you don't have, which creates pain. These concepts of lack and limitation are not congruent to the present presence identity. So surrender is all about surrendering who you think you are and discovering who you really are. And surrender is active, meaning it's an internal perception. It's a state of consciousness. So when you surrender your separate self and you do it in a real, tangible way, your human self can still walk around, can still wash the dishes, can still eat, have other activities happening. But the consciousness is free. The consciousness itself is free. It's not attached to those actions, to that eating. There's a freedom that allows the spontaneous action to arise. There's no grasping at the action. There's no grasping at the individuality of the human. The human character is an event that's simply happening. One of the many events that's happening within your identity as the presence. It's sort of like back to the analogy of the red blood cell. As the physical body, the blood cell is still doing its thing, but you as the physical human being is not attached to the actions of that one blood cell. Unless you want to be, unless from that human body perspective you really focus in on a specific blood cell or a specific part of the body and really focus in on that part of yourself to perceive something. But even when perceiving and seeing that, there's still no attachment. I desire to define my dedication to detachment. I desire to define my dedication to detachment. I desire to define my dedication to detachment. It's like action through non-action. This paradox is your point of power. And these things I'm saying are not simply conceptual. Because if you go up the ladder, you'll find that you are every identity up the ladder. Every expanded, miraculous, big guru or God that you look up to, that's all powerful and wise and expansive, you are that. You are literally that. if you go up the ladder, you can make those quantum leaps and look through the eyes of those identities. Like the red blood cell can go up the ladder of consciousness and be the human that contains it. Or the human can go up the ladder of consciousness and be the soul that contains it. Or the soul can go up the consciousness ladder and be the oversoul that contains it. You exist at every level, the smallest microscopic to the biggest, most expanded level. The only thing that stops you from experiencing this is the disbelief, the doubt, the separation, the belief that you're separate from that. That's the only thing that stops you from shifting your consciousness so dramatically. There's just a complex energy field of disbelief that I'm a human. There's no way I can perceive as some collective consciousness. There's no way I could perceive as the soul, which is, you know, timeless, that is living multiple lives through multiple dimensions, through past, future, and present. As the human, time is linear, so there's no way I can step outside of time. Time is moving forward, and there's no way I can go back in time or into the future. As a human, there's many limitations that you identify as and identify with. So in order to really expand, if that's an actual passion of yours, if that's a desire, natural desire of yours, and there most likely is some interest there for you if you're listening to this right now, then look at your limits. Question your limits. Question what you believe is possible for yourself. Because in order to transcend, you must surrender your limits. You must surrender the identity that contains all those limits. At first, you surrender limit by limit. You surrender and question limit by limit while creating connections to being the soul, being the oversoul, being the collective, being the presence. You're surrendering limit by limit, and you're making connections to your greater self, to your more expansive self, to your limitless self. But then there comes a time, a point in time, in the present moment, where it's easier to just surrender the entire identity of the character itself. Just surrender your individuality as this human person completely. Because with it, all the limits go. And basically make that leap into fully living as that soul, one with that presence. That's when the permanent stone is created. The philosopher's stone, the sorcerer's stone, the Holy Grail, the Ark of the Covenant. This philosopher's stone is a state of permanent consciousness as that greater identity, as that more expanded identity. Greater only in perception, a bigger point of view. Because every identity that you are, from the smallest to the most expansive, are all valid, are all interesting, and are no better than any other identity. Because being a limited human is a unique experience in itself. However, suffering is optional. The only purpose suffering and pain serve is to teach you that they're optional. They're not necessary. You can still be a human and experience that sense of self with freedom, especially if you incorporate that soul presence into your individual character. And you do that through the act of surrender. When you surrender your individual self, your character, at first it's like this emptiness, and the relationship between you and that emptiness is unknown. There's not much value there. It seems like it's basically empty. And how is that better than what you're experiencing now? But the more you create that relationship with your soul presence, you'll start to actually feel the vibration of that soul. And that vibration feels really good. That's why I say, I'm sitting on my silent throne, sipping on the manna pouring out of me. Because that soul presence it's literally a blissful experience. And you experience it when you're in the still, silent place. Peaceful place. You start to basically hear it. Feel it. It's sort of like a background of positivity, of well-being. And that well-being, the more you pay attention to it, you start to notice that it's actually very blissful. And the more you focus on that, the more you see that, the more that expands and you feel ecstatic. And gradually you can hold greater levels of love, of greater levels of bliss, which is very pleasurable to feel, which is very enjoyable. It's like breathing the prana, the light. It's a very potent frequency of enjoyment. But at first, you're unfamiliar with that emptiness, and you're not familiar with hearing it, seeing it, because it's so subtle. You have to surrender your character and perceive with more refined sense of consciousness. You have to perceive with more refined senses. Because in that stillness, in that silence, yes, there's emptiness, but if you keep paying attention to the emptiness, to your soul presence, you'll start to tune into the love frequency there. And that love frequency, that unique love frequency, is who you are. It has no form. It has no structure, so to speak. It just is. It's just an isness of well-being, of a pleasure, of a bliss, of a joy, of an ecstasy. And of course, you know, in order to feel those higher feelings, you really have to just start at the beginning of empty, neutral, peace, and then go into well-being. I feel good. I like this. I like me. I like this. It feels good. It feels great. It feels juicy. It feels blissful. Ecstatic. Joyful. So it does take a level of commitment and perseverance to really break on through to the other side, so to speak. And it definitely takes a sense of a level of surrender. Because as the character, as the human person, your senses are too caught up into being a person, being needing to achieve, focusing on all the programming that keeps you in that identity. But as you surrender yourself as the person and connect more with that soul presence, you still are that person. But like I said, that person becomes a part of who you really are. You start making that leap into not just being the person, but being the thing that contains that person, being that soul that creates the extension of the idea of you as a person. And it's your senses become sharper and start to peer into that silence and get that golden manna that is so fulfilling, where you start to only depend on that for your fulfillment. Because as a person, we depend on external stimuli for fulfillment. We depend on the needs, the feeling of being validated through whatever medium that is, through friends and family, accomplishments, any kind of sense gratifications, food, sex, any type of pleasures. And all of those things, it's like they use the analogy of being the beggar, where you're looking to get a little bit of pleasure, of fulfillment from all these different things that are temporary, that go away. And it, when that thing goes away, it brings you to the low. And then you find another thing that gives you pleasure, and then it goes away and then goes into the low. And it's this roller coaster ride that beats you up until you actually decide to find a more sustainable source of that fulfillment where it's self-sustained. They call that the fountain of youth. They call that the philosopher's stone, where you are the wellspring of the peace, of the love, of the joy and ecstasy and bliss frequency. Because sustainable ecstasy is your birthright. You can create a state of consciousness, become the state of consciousness that you already are and exist as, where you feel consistent happiness from your own existence. So surrender is scary, perhaps, but you can do it in baby steps. You can surrender limits to begin with, certain limits, so you have a little bit more freedom as the person, as the character. Then you can start to make some connections to your more expansive self. So you start getting more comfortable with being bigger while feeling less limits that were previously weighing you down. And then eventually, gradually, you'll get more and more comfortable with your soul and what it feels like until it actually becomes a permanent sense of self for you. And the you that you thought you were sort of fades away, fades into that greater self that you are, so that your primary identity has a gradual shift from being this limited persona into this more expanded soul presence. So then you function as that persona with the love of the soul. And then continue to expand into more of the advanced forms of alchemy, of where you can actually transform your carbon-based body into a light body, so that it matches that state of consciousness that you know yourself to be. So it's a process, which is what you signed up for in this physical matrix experience. And it's exciting. And it's what the great work of alchemy is all about. So with that, I wish you so much love and grace in your journey of self-surrender. And I'm wishing you many, many blessings. May peace be with you. Thank you.